The one is local to the Inland Empire. And that's the update we have. We will see in a couple of weeks what comes in.
Plus we have a webinar.
And we're going to have a webinar. What is the date of the webinar?
It's Thursday, November 14th at 11:30 our time. It's just an informational session to go through the RFP and open it up for people to ask questions. And then we'll have it recorded for anyone who is interested and wasn't able to attend. It's just a webinar. The link is on our website,
Carol, do you have any questions on the community needs?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay, then we will move on to new business grant proposals. Number A, letters of interest and pending applications. Donna?
Are we on page 14?
No, we're on page 13.
What did we didn't skip anything.
Did we skip?
No.
Oh, let's see, just a new business. Never mind. Okay. Again, this is in your packet. It's an update on the different funding requests we have coming in on pending letters of interest and applications. If there's any questions?
Any questions from the committee members? No questions? Carol, do you have any questions on the letters of interest?
I do. We have submitted a letter of interest for proposals from East County, and I was just wondering what the progress was on that. If we had any organizations that interested, is there any progress going in that area?
We've had about four applications that have come in so far: ABC Recovery, Volunteers of Medicine, Pueblo Unido, and Angel View. Yes, four so far.
And so we'll see those at the next program committee?
Yes.
Great. Have there been any outreach to East County organizations to let them know that this is available?
We've had posted on social media. We've done constant contact. We are going to be having another informational type of meeting on the 20th down at Coachella Library for all of those who are interested in knowing about the application process.
Great.
The meeting on the 20th, what time is it?
3 o'clock, Coachella Library.
I have a question.
Okay, Luciano?
Those currently that are applying with letter of interest, how many of them are new rather than maintenance?
For the East Valley funding?
Yeah.
ABC Recovery. Right. ABC Recovery is in Pueblo Unido.
Unido, yeah.
Those two are new.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question. Maybe I'm missing the boat on this, but were we expecting something from Clinica de Salud on that?
On that funding?
Yeah.
They haven't submitted anything yet, as yet. Remember, we can't go out and solicit.
Right.
We have AB 2019. Yeah. But they're aware of it.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, if there are no other questions, we'll move on to the next item. Okay. Number B, consideration to approve grant 1021 Neuro Vitality Center Community-Based Services CBAS program for $143,787. Donna.
Okay, this is a grant request, as you can tell, from Neuro Vitality Center. This is a new direction that, and we have Bev Greer here, who's the CEO. A new direction the Neuro Vitality Center is going to, recognizing a need and a gap for adult daycare, adult services, and also for services for Alzheimer's and dementia patients. IHP is a partner, and this is also a collaborative effort with Regional Access Project Foundation. Eva Gunther James is here from RAP as well. We worked really hard together, the two of us with Bev, that in order for
Nor Vitality to get licensed and credentialed by the state, by the county, they had to have different components in place. One of the biggest components was staff. So collaboratively with RAP, the district, hoping that the committee will approve the funding for new staff that are all in place, and Regional Access Project Foundation picked up the gap funding for the other part of the operations, which was approved at their board meeting contingent on that NeuroVitality got their license and got their credentialing, and that the district approved our grant to them. Good news is they did get licensed and certified, credentialed. They are up and running. I don't know, as of this writing, the final phase, they were getting waiting for provider contracts from IEHP, and Deb can probably fill you in a little bit more updated since this was published. But that's it. If anybody has any questions, or you would rather have some questions for Bev that I haven't been able to answer, or
okay,
not in here.
I will first ask the committee if they have any questions from
the quail.
From
what will this additional staff be doing?
Do we want to then ask Bev to give a brief overview of her proposal? Is that okay
yep.
with the
sure.
committee?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Then Bev, you have the floor.
Great, thank you. Hi, Carol. I hope you're feeling well. For those of you that don't know our background, the Stroke Recovery Center we do business under the NeuroVitality Center is a 42-year-old organization that has dealt in long-term care for people with neurological disorders, primarily stroke and traumatic brain injury for many, many years. A number of years ago, we decided to expand our population to include those people with other types of neurological disorders that might also respond to the type of therapies that we do. So we expanded to call people that suffer from Parkinson's, who suffer from MS, and different types of things. And in order to make them feel welcome, we changed our name to the NeuroVitality Center. Well, kind of what I call the evolution of care, if you're dealing with neurological problems, the next step is, of course, to deal with dementia and with Alzheimer's. So in order to do that, we had to change the way that our structure of our building. So we invested a lot of money in doing renovations so that we could control access and egress from our building, and that we could then attract those people that suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia. Now, once you get into that sort of business, and also once you're in the business that we're in, you really need to provide a higher level of care. And that higher level of care is what we're talking about with the new staffing and with the new licensure and new certification. Because we have always existed from donations from the community only. We've never been licensed. We've never had any governmental support other than community development block grants. Our budget has always been about $1 million a year, and we've managed to raise that. A lot of help has always come from you folks here at the district. You've supported the seniors and those people that are disabled within our communities that we all support here. But that we reached a point where that next step was basically going to cost us a lot more than we would be able to raise on a yearly basis. So we looked at options. How could we improve our funding? And how could we develop enough funding so that we could support those services that are our core services and that we want to continue to support at a very low-cost level, at the same time being able to handle the dementia patients and be able to handle those people with other chronic illnesses. So the option came to us to become a licensed adult daycare center. Now, there's sort of two levels of that. One is the Adult Daycare Center itself, and then another is what's called the CBAS program, and CBAS stands for Community-Based Adult Services. The reason that they have something called Community-Based Adult Services is that the industry, the adult daycare industry, was victim to a lot of fraud and a lot of abuse over the years, and it was actually closed down. So when I first came into the center, and I actually looked at becoming a daycare center, it wasn't an option because they weren't accepting any new licensures. So the state looked at, well, okay, how can they then bring this service back, particularly for low income and for frail elderlies? How could they bring it back but how could they control it better so there wasn't so much fraud and abuse? So what they did is they developed what was called the CBAS system for those people that have Medi-Medi. Now, you all know that's Medicare and Medi-Cal supplement, which means they're older and they're poor. So what they did is they have set it up throughout the state in different demonstration projects. In our area, they put together Riverside and San Bernardino as a demonstration project. And what they did is that they contracted with IHP, Inland Empire Health Plan, and they contracted with Molina Healthcare to, for those people that have Medi-Medi, if they want to convert their Medi-Medi to an HMO project, if they want to go for an HMO plan, then they get a benefit of a CBAS benefit. But the CBAS benefit, when I said they introduced a lot of regulations, well, we had 600 pages of regulations that we had to adhere to. But it's quite a challenge. But the reason is they want to very, very tightly control this. What they demand of us is to go beyond the kind of services that we've always given to medical services. So we had to hire a nurse. We've had to hire a social worker. We've had to hire OT, PT, psychologists, nutritionalists, pharmacists, a doctor, of course. And so all of those are expenses that we have to incur before we're even able to bring patients in. We have to do a tremendous amount of tracking, a tremendous amount of paperwork, which is typical of government agencies, I'm afraid. But, you know, I think the outcome will be a very high quality of care for the patients. That said, we still are focusing on, and the industry focuses on, what's called person-centered care, which we discovered we've been doing for years, but we didn't have a name for it, which was kind of nice. When we started reading about it, said, oh, we already do this. But basically what they're asking is you look very much at each individual person and work an individual plan of care for each individual person, monitor that person, how they're doing, and making sure that they're maximizing their quality of life. So what the grant request is for is that is we're having to transition to quite a long time before we're going to be able to actually bill. We do have to have all of that staff in place. We do have to analyze all these people, and then we have to go through eligibility processes before we can actually bill and start to see some money come in. So that's where we're asking for help, and where RAP has already agreed to do this, which is nice, and hopefully the district will too. Any questions on that? Yes.
Do you fall under the purview of Department of Social Services?
There are three different agencies that we fall under. The California Department of Public Health is licensing us. Department of Social Services, it does not license us, but we're subject to some of their regulations. And the Department of Aging is the certifying body. So those three agencies actually are the ones that control adult daycare in the state.
Just to follow up on that, this is not for residential care.
That's right. This is ambulatory only. Yeah. Strictly outpatient, strictly ambulatory, 5 days a week.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If this is going to be a managed care program, what is going to be the PMPM, or per member per month?
That's not the way that we're paid. We're paid on a daily basis, a negotiated fee. The minimum fee that Medi-Cal will pay is, I think, $88.06. Since we're the only provider out here, and IHP is very eager to have us, we're hoping to get a little bit higher reimbursement rate.
And that will be per day? Per day. Per member per day?
Per member per day. So minimum 88 and then up from there. But well, as I say, we're hoping to get a little bit better. Now, the adult day program that you have to be licensed for under the Department of Social Services and under the Department of Public Health is not reimbursed by insurance. So it will be a fee-for-service base. And what we want to do on that is we're coming in under the average. The average daycare program fee-for-service is about $70. We felt that was a little high, so we're starting off at $55. With the hope that that we'll be able to serve more people, particularly those people that need respite and can drop their loved one off, those people that need memory care and help. If they need additional help, we'll have to up those prices a little bit.
Yes. What does your model look like when you get out to, let's say, 2021, 2023, in that area? What do you look at as your capacity?
We will be licensed for 200 per day. Those of you that have seen our facility know we have a facility of about 20,000, is that right, 20,000 square feet, I think? Yeah, we have a gym, we have a very large enclosed garden, and we have many different activity rooms, plus we have one central room which has the ability to dine, to feed about 200 people. I don't foresee us doing that in a number of years. It just would be very calamitous, I think. But I can see us going pretty quickly to probably about 100 a day. Right at the moment, we serve around 50 to 60 a day.
We have another question from Ms. Yes.
Let me see if I'm understanding you right. Mm-hmm. You folks are a community-based organization providing services to the elderly, correct?
To the elderly, the disabled, and the chronically ill.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And so the gist of this request is to request money so that you can become a certified agency to provide those services on top of what you're currently providing.
No, we are currently
certified. The
transition,
I'm asking.
Yeah, this is the transition. Is what we are doing right now, what we provide is physical therapy, we provide activities, and we provide counseling, and we provide food for the people that we have had for many, many years. What the CVAS program puts on top of that is a medical component, which is nursing, social service, you know, home visits, things of that nature, and then also analysis done by specific professional clinical people, so that we develop the individual care plans based on what people can best function, how they can best function.
Okay, so what's the amount of money they're requesting? $700,000?
No, $143,000.
Oh, I'm getting a little confused here. What
$143,787.
And that's going to be allocated, it's projected to be allocated
for the
therapists?
Yes, exactly.
Just the therapists alone or other?
No, services? No, their whole professionals are all listed in the grant. There's about, what's?
Page 33.
12, 13 different professionals that we had to
page
bring 30. On board. And that does not cover the existing staff that, of course, we are converting over to do this program. So this is only the new staff that we've had to bring on.
The new staff?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other questions from any committee members?
What happens after the six-month period of this grant?
Well, hopefully, Alan, hopefully by that point we'll be billing and we should be relatively solvent. If that doesn't happen, they'll probably find a new CEO, and we'll probably go forward from there. Hey, Bev, you said you could do this, you know. So we're hoping it won't take more than 6 months to get that switch done. Although, you know, I mean, I have to tell you guys, dealing with the government, I think I'm going to become an anarchist. I mean, it's so frustrating. It seems as if every time we make a little bit of progress, they put another thing in the road. But, you know, we're right at where we are right now is we've got our licensure. We've been surveyed by the Department of Public Health, and we were surveyed by the Department of Aging. They said they are certified. They have to get the physical license to the Department of Aging. The Department of Aging then sends both of those, the certification and the license, to another third party who then does an activation of our NPI number, and then we have to go back to IHP and to Molina we already have a contract with IHP, but we have to renew that, and then we have to get a new contract with Molina. Then we have to bring people in, then we have to get them, you know, analyzed by the third party payer before we can even think about billing. So, you know, the steps are horrendous. It was much easier when we didn't do this.
We already have a base too of 44.
We do. We have about 44 current patients that are IHP patients that will convert, and so that's real exciting. And Ben, who I deal with at IHP, dealt with him for years. He's a long term care manager there. He says he's got about 100 on a waiting list right now. So we know the need is there. We know the people need us, and they're very eager for us to get this done. It's primarily just process at this point. That just is, if I didn't have gray hair already, I'd have gray hair.
I have a question.
Yes,
go ahead. I understand, you know, the handout, it has the labor costs and the differences,
yep,
of all that, and I get that. The one thing that I wasn't sure of, though, was it also details the operational cost,
yep,
and the budget.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure if, as you increase the patient numbers, if these costs go up.
Most of the operational costs are not patient dependent as are the staffing costs. Now, we are subject to all sorts of regulations in terms of staffing. So every 40 patients, we have to get another nurse and we have to get another social worker. Every 16 patients, we have to get another aide. So we're going to be growing like crazy as we start bringing all these people in. The operational costs, with the exception of food, which will, of course, expand because we have to feed the people there on a daily basis. So most of the other operational costs are pretty much fixed because they're building costs.
Insurance
it will not change until we really get, you know, if we double our revenues or we get to that point. But it's not as person connected as with the rest. Good question.
So, Beth, yeah. you see an insurance revenue stream in addition to the governmental Medicare, Medicaid?
No, that is the insurance. That is, okay. The government pays Molina and IHP and then they will pay us.
Will there be a third stream for private pay?
Yes, there will be a third stream for private pay.
Yeah. Currently, you need certain certifications, correct?
Pardon me?
Only if you meet certain
eligibility.
Certifications, and that's what you're trying to obtain through this?
No, we have already obtained the certification for CBAS. We've already attained the certification for adult daycare. So we're certified, we're okay. Now it's a matter of getting the contract so we can get the payment from Medi-Cal.
I'm going to ask this question. It might be a silly one, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do we fund for-profit as opposed to non-profit organizations or both?
We're not a for-profit.
I'm not asking
no.
that.
No.
What your status is.
No. No.
No. Okay, so what is your status? A non-profit or not?
Oh, absolutely.
For-profit.
Not-for-profit. We've always been non-for-profit. 501c.
And the district funds only non-profits organizations? Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Bev, I just have one last comment. I think this is the right type of program in the right location at the right time. And I think the fourth leg under that one is that you're doing the right things. I understand, having done a number of these, not yours, but residential care facilities and others, that the lift there is very heavy. The real scary part of this from a public perspective is we ain't seen nothing yet as far as the flow of baby boomers who will be coming into the sweet spot for this type of service, which is why I asked about your capacity.
Exactly.
Because I think that needs, and maybe one other tiny point on that, when you build for Alzheimer's and memory impaired patients, will you be building that security infrastructure for the whole facility?
It is. It has been built.
Yeah.
It has been built at this point. It cost us quite a lot. And for those of you that haven't been over for a while, if you come and see the way the new building is, for those of you that have been there, we took out the thrift store, which of course was very important because you can't have a memory care facility that has an active, you know, a store, because, you know, where's mom? Well, I don't know. Last time I saw her, she was shopping in the purses, and you know, I haven't seen her since. So we closed that down. And we did a deal with Angel Beam. We moved the Jackie D. Thrift Store up to Indian Canyon. And again, for those of you who have been around the valley a long time, the Jackie D. Thrift Shop was named after Jackie D. Houston. And her two favorite charities were Angel View and the Stroke Recovery Center. So we felt good about it. It seemed that the family liked it. Jamie was excited that it all happened. They have a beautiful Jackie D. Thrift Store. And it allowed us then to secure our facility. We also put fencing in the back so that it's open fencing. Is that a contradiction of term? It's not walls, so people can see the airplanes going by. So it doesn't give you an enclosed feeling, but it's all secure all the way around the building. There is one central entrance, and everybody has to be signed in as they come through, and we'll be able to monitor that. So it was quite a challenge. And as I say, it did cost us a considerable amount of money. We were out. We took us about 6 months to get the whole place renovated, but it really looks nice. It's really good.
Okay. Is there any other questions from the committee members? Okay. Carol, do you have any questions?
Say that again.
Thank you, everybody, for your thoughtful questions. I just wanted to say that. The district has funded Neurovitality Center several times in the past, and their programs just continue to grow and grow and be able to help people with their beautiful, wonderful outcomes from strokes. And I'm happy that we're seeing something again. I'm always impressed that we get, when we get the return reports from Neurovitality Center, they're always on the mark, and we can expect the outcomes that they promise plus more. So I'm very much in support of this program.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
So I will entertain a motion to approve. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. Was there
I'd
a motion
to approve
on the floor? Is there a second? And what was your motion?
To approve. Sure.
Okay. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions? Okay, very good. It has passed. And I just want to say a ditto to what Carol just said. I applaud you and your board for this major step. And I know that it was a lot to the decision to go forward, the bureaucracy, the expense. Thank you very much for stepping forward.
Thank you, lady. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the board meeting. And then we'll look forward to a grand opening, hopefully coming just after Thanksgiving. And we want you all to come and have a look at the facility and see what we're doing. So thank you so much. And thank you for coming. Thank you.
And thank you, Rap, for stepping up also.
Thank you, Rap. Thank you, Rap. Yes.
Okay, so the next item is volunteer community members' responsibilities. It is an informational item, and I'm turning to staff.
Carol, I don't know if she wants to take this one away. She requested that we have a little bit of review of the volunteer community members' responsibilities. And so we put what the service agreement in packet for review if there was any questions. Carol, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I would. I just wanted to say that, when the advisory committee, a program committee meeting is advisory to the board, and I'm always impressed with the questions and how much knowledge our advisory committee members have, and I feel very confident by the time that these programs that we approve come to the board that they have been looked at by community members with their extensive experience. So I just want to applaud everybody who's on the board and appreciate their willingness to serve and to look at the activities and programs the district presents.
Is there any questions or comments from any other committee members?
This is the same document that we saw some 8 months ago.
That's correct.
Yeah, so it's just a... Okay.
So that was just a clarification from Alan. It is the same report that we saw that was created by the board, actually. Any other questions from the committee members?
And do you want us to re-sign this?
No.
Okay, if there are no other questions, we'll move forward to the next item is committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments on any other business? Very good. Carol, do you have any comments on any other business?
No, thank you. I'm sorry I'm laid up in a wheelchair. I had some problem with my surgery, and I'm in rehab, but I'm going to physical therapy and occupational therapy every day and getting better.
Very good. Please continue to get better, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Right.
If there are no other questions, no other comments, then we will adjourn at 12:36.